Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Happy Wednesday. Welcome in to an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thanks so much for being here. We have 2 days of Packers training camp in the books. Day two was very interesting. It was interesting due to weather. Now, I talked to some of the guys that have been on the beat for a while. I talked to Pete Doherty. I talked to Rob Domofsky. No one really remembers a training camp practice quite like this one. You look at the weather map early in the morning, you see that there's some small chance of rain, but it looks like for the majority of practice, it's going to avoid the entirety of practice. And it looks like even if there is some rain, it might just be some light drizzle or things like that. So myself and apparently everyone else did not really bring any umbrellas or raincoats or anything. And this practice just... oh, like the entire skies opened up, rain coming down from everywhere, and it was a unique experience, to say the least. We were all completely soaked on the sidelines. The players are, of course, going through this as well. I'm sure you care much less about what we were going through on the sidelines and more of what was going on the field, but it was definitely an interesting experience, especially as you're trying to cover the practice. Now, for me, I'm trying to tweet on my phone, and I can't tweet anything because the screen won't, you know, basically... respond to anything I'm doing because everything is just soaked. And for those that are taking notes in notebooks, it's just all soaked and you couldn't even write on it. It was like I said, a crazy experience. Usually coaches, when you get to that much of a, you know, skies opening, rain everywhere, just coming down crazy sort of experience, they move you inside. Everyone goes into the Don Hutson Center, recalibrates, and they go from there. For whatever reason, Matt LaFleur did not go about it that direction. I don't think that's good, bad, ugly, indifferent. I think there's pros and cons to that, and I'm sure he weighed that out and sort of knew ahead of time. My guess is he probably received a similar weather report from his staff saying, hey, we think that there might be some rain, but if it does come, it's going to pass, you know, relatively quick. So maybe when that first rain came, they're like, all right, this is going to pass quick. And then by the time, you know, they recognize maybe it's time to go in the Don Hutson Center, everything was soaked anyway. Who knows? Either way, it was definitely interesting. And this went on for a while, probably 30 minutes of just downpouring. And then finally the rain let up a little bit more. And then it was right around the time, thankfully, that we got into team periods and could, you know, sort of get some of the stuff out there and actually tweet some of the stuff out. But a very, very interesting day of practice. Before we get into every detail that you want to know about practice, quick shout out to Andrew Ben 83 for becoming a brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube member. If you haven't checked out the YouTube channel yet or the YouTube memberships yet, make sure to do so. A ton of great content out there. Ross Uglum is doing extra episodes now. Some of those are going to be just main episodes. Others are going to be members only. I try to get a members only episode out there every week. Of course, your members only Q&A episodes as well. It's definitely worthwhile. And there's a ton of extra content. There's 4 different tiers available. So make sure to check that out. Let's get that up to 400 members sooner, hopefully, rather than later. All right, let's get to everything. Literally everything that happened, at least as much notes as we could possibly take. First of all, still no Jordan Love. All right, day 2 of the Jordan Love hold-in 2024. Not anything to really take away here other than that it is now 2 days. You know, it still seemed like everyone was in good spirits. Jordan Love was out there with his teammates. I know we'll get to the fact that the defense won this practice and the offense had to do some push-ups. I know there was a little bit of messing around from the defense that Jordan had to do them as well. Again, everything still feels good right now. Like there's no major issue. We'll see how far this kind of continues on. I'm recording this very early on Wednesday morning. Wanted to wait as long as I could just in case we receive some Jordan Love news late on Tuesday. Nothing as of yet. I'm hoping that I wake up on Wednesday morning and that news is out there and that Jordan's going to be good to practice on Wednesday. That Thursday off day feels important. If they don't get anything done Wednesday, you still have the remainder of Wednesday to get it done. You have all day Thursday, and then you start the Friday, Saturday, Sunday practices, probably with a couple, at least one or two padded practices in there. And that's when you really want Jordan out there, is probably starting right around there. And of course, you would love him out there sooner rather than later, but I think he missed a ton. Like I said, first day, he probably missed 20, 25 reps. Day two was a complete rain fest. Throwing the ball was not going to be, you know, a huge, you know, success, I don't think, for much of anyone. I don't think there's been much missed so far. But the longer that this goes on, the more of a potential distraction, the more questions, the more all of it. And you just lose reps with Jordan to all of his young wide receivers and tight ends and running backs. And that's not the way that you want to start it. And to be clear too, this is a defense that needs reps against a good offense. You know, defense dominated. We'll get to this in a moment. Defense absolutely dominated on day two. How much of that is just due to not having Jordan Love, having Sean Clifford and Michael Pratt, you know, sort of leading the way? You know, those are difficult things to tell and, you know, or at least glean from when you're just watching it. But yeah, it's great that the defense had an amazing day. Would it have been the same if Jordan was out there? And you want iron sharpening iron. You want this defense having to go against Jordan Love every day. You want Jordan going against this defense every day. That's going to benefit everyone. And this is not, again, I'll say what I said yesterday. I don't think there's a villain here. There's no reason for panic or concern yet. But every day that this goes on, the tenor changes just a little bit until maybe we get to a point of like, oh my goodness, this is really going on a lot longer than anyone expected. And there's no signs still that that's going to happen, but like I said, it changes the calculus a little bit every single day that this continues on. And like I said, hopefully Wednesday is the day that everything gets done and we can all celebrate Jordan Love's new contract on tomorrow's episode. All right, meanwhile, with no Jordan Love, Packers signed Jacob Eason, quarterback, former fourth round pick. If you remember, he was at Packers rookie minicamp, even though he was not a rookie, he was there on a tryout basis, which you can do with some of the veterans that are, you know, quote unquote, kind of out of the league. I'm sure here they were happy with the fact that somebody at least had some experience within the offense, even if it was a couple days during rookie minicamp. They bring Eason in. It sounds like Eason very much understands the situation here. This is probably not a long-term situation, that he probably doesn't have any real chance of staying on the roster once Jordan Love is back. But if you're Jacob Eason, you take every opportunity that you get to show a team what you're capable of. And that's what Eason will do here. And meanwhile, Green Bay gets a training camp arm to continue practice moving the way that it needs to. And in case something were to happen to Clifford or Pratt, for Pratt, you can't just go with one quarterback. The player I sort of feel bad for again here is Alex Magoo, because if Magoo just stayed healthy, right? If there was no injury, he's probably still on this roster as a, you know, wide receiver. They probably just would have switched him back and said, all right, go be quarterback until Jordan gets back. And then once Jordan's back, we'll switch you back to wide receiver. At least he gets another chance to prove himself or show himself. But of course he gets injured. He gets release injured. Nobody claims him. So now he's on the Packers injured reserve list until they work out an injury settlement. But in the meantime, Jacob Eason brought to Green Bay, number three quarterback for the time being. Once Jordan is back, in all likelihood is released. With that pickup of Jacob Eason, Peter Bowden, former Wisconsin Badger, long snapper, undrafted rookie free agent, long snapper for the Packers now, or at least was, is released. And I really thought that this had probably the best opportunity for a UDFA to make the roster in 2024. It felt like Orzech, you know, was vulnerable a little bit, didn't have a great year in 2023. And Bowden, for whatever draft experts actually look at long snapper stuff, I can look you in the eye and tell you I do not. For those that did, Dane Brugler being the top one here, he said that, you know, Bowden was the best long snapper in the entire draft last year and just happened to go undrafted. I thought there would be a real chance that he competes for that job. That seems to not be the case. Now, as I mentioned on the Quick Hits episode earlier, if in fact, you know, Eason is released in the next couple days and, you know, when Love comes back and hopefully with that signed contract, if that happens, they could easily just bring Bowden back and re-up that competition. They could have easily felt like Bowden would be very unlikely to get claimed off of waivers. And in the meantime, they could just tell him, hey, stick around for a couple days. We're going to get this Jordan deal done and bring you back. It's not a great sign for Bowden either way that they released him. it would certainly indicate, you would think, that even if they do bring him back, which is no guarantee, that right now Orzech is clearly ahead. Otherwise, you would have released Orzech. But they released Peter Bowden, and as of right now, Matt Orzech, the only long snapper on the roster. Before we get into anything else from a practice standpoint, the one other piece of news and notes, Royce Newman signed a new contract, or at least redid his contract. He was set to make $3.24 million this year with only $125K in dead cap hit. And this is one of those contracts that he got an incentive based on what he was able to do and how many snaps that he's played so far in his career. He gets that, base salary bumped up by a couple million, and it completely does Royce Newman a disservice because it made it far more likely that he was going to get released because none of that additional money is guaranteed. Again, only $125K in dead cap hit. If he's making near the vet minimum and, that's it, all right, Royce maybe has a real legitimate chance to make the roster. If he's making over three times the vet minimum, there's just no chance. He had no chance to make the 53-man roster unless he just completely 180'd this thing and all of a sudden became a really good guard. Sure, anyone can make it if they just get really good. But barring some crazy circumstance where he gets exponentially better out of nowhere, there was no chance for him to make the roster on that $3.24 million base salary. So what they do, they now have it as a $1.25 million base salary. He could earn up to an extra million in incentives with some playing time and active game bonuses. And then he still only has the $125K dead cap hit. So this is an opportunity where he now has a much better chance of making the roster, for better or worse. I know a lot of Packer fans are ready to be done with the Royce Newman experience, but there's really no downside with this new contract to keeping him on and giving him an opportunity. I always go back to his rookie year. Played over 1,000 snaps for a really good offense, started that season as a rookie, and looked like somebody who wasn't good, but was mostly fine, mostly average, mostly replacement level. Like, you could get by with him without really any issues. And there's value in that type of player. If he can get back to that, that's a good player to have on your roster. Even if it's just the 9th or 10th offensive lineman, you need those guys too. You need depth. And if Newman can give you that on a near vet minimum deal, awesome. That's not a bad thing. But this gives him an opportunity to make the roster. He didn't have that opportunity on the last contract. It's a smart move by both sides, and we'll see where it kind of goes from here. Hey, everybody. For those that have been listening to the podcast for some time now, you know how invested I am in the world of Prize Picks and how much more enjoyable it's made the entire daily fantasy experience for me. And it's not hard to understand why. It's America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. If you've maybe been on the fence about getting in on the fun, there's never been a better time than right now to sign up. It's officially Team USA season, and you, yes you, could turn $10 into $1,000 while watching Team USA rack up the gold medals this summer. You can make a Prize Picks lineup of players across basketball, soccer, tennis, golf, and more in as little as 60 seconds. Just pick more or pick less on player stat projections, and you're locked in. And if you're looking for promotions, Prize Picks has you covered every week. Make sure to check out Tuesday promotions as they lower select player stat projections to help your lineup hit. This week, I'm going with Team USA basketball. Two big stars, Anthony Edwards and Aja Wilson, as I'm absolutely stoked for the return of international basketball. And the best part is that you can download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code PACKADAY on Prize Picks for a deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Hello, friends. As many of you know, a few years back, the Milwaukee Bucks were in the NBA Finals, and I desperately wanted to go to Game 6 in Milwaukee to see them win the championship. As you can imagine, prices were insane, and I kept going back and forth with different apps to try and find the cheapest tickets possible. I finally found them, clicked purchase, and of course they were gone. Goodbye Game 6 of the NBA Finals. Now, thankfully, the day of the game, I was able to find a ticket, but the entire thing was so expensive and way too stressful. I really wish I could have simply used Game Time to alleviate all of the stress and all of the hassle. I've started using Game Time app for purchasing all of my tickets, and I wish I would have done so sooner. From low prices to easy to find tickets to last minute ticket deals, the Game Time app is perfect for all of my ticket needs. Game Time is the fastest growing ticketing app in the country for a reason. You can get images of your seat seat before you buy. You can buy tickets in a matter of seconds, two clicks only, in fact, and tickets are sent directly to your phone so you never need to dig through your email. The Game Time guarantee means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PACKADAY for $20 off your first purchase. That's code PACKADAY. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PACKADAY for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. All right, practice stuff. From an injury standpoint or a non-participation standpoint, all of the non-participants were the exact same as they were on Monday. Not practicing were Marshawn Lloyd, Kitano Ladapo, Jaden Reed, Corey Ballantyne, Caleb Jones, Tucker Kraft, Donovan Jennings, and Jordan Love. Those eight players. Love, of course, is contract. Marshawn Lloyd is a hip injury. Everyone else is either on the non-football injury list or on the PUP list, but those were your eight that were not practicing. The really good news, I went into the LaFleur presser a little bit worried, to be honest, and that was because I talked the other day about the Jaire Alexander situation where he went down towards the end of practice and he did not return to practice. I was concerned that we were going to get some bad news. Like, there was somebody, I think, who posted in the comments that they saw him go down and it didn't look good. Thankfully, it was more of like heat exhaustion and, he just needed to probably get some fluids and that was it. He was back at practice on Tuesday, good to go, no issues, no concerns. And that was great news overall. Like I said, I went in there, I'm like, are we going to get day one of practice? Jordan Love is holding in. Day two, Jaire has a major injury. Like, are we just going to go through this and like all this excitement we have, it's just going to be buzzkill after buzzkill. But thankfully it was not, and Jaire is okay. Matt also mentioned he was not sure of how long Marshawn Lloyd would be out. He didn't think it's going to be anything really long, but he also didn't think it's going to be something where he's back in these next couple of days either. So probably, I would say hopefully next couple of weeks at the latest for Lloyd. But again, another one we're just going to have to kind of keep an eye on. All right, main takeaways from practice. We'll go through again everything here. The defense was absolutely positively dominant. And I mean dominant. Now, there's some reasons for this. Jordan Love is out. Zach Tom is out. At least not practicing in team drills. He was in individual, but not in team. You had the extremely wet and sloppy conditions, and we're still not in pads. You know, there's an advantage, I think, a little bit more to the defense with no pads than there is to the offense, specifically on the offensive line. I think the offensive line gets a little bit more of an advantage once the pads are on. So there's some reasons why the defense would be ahead here. Clearly, Jordan Love being the biggest of those. But the first thing I want to note here is that Jeff Hafley, he brought it. A lot of single high, a lot of aggressive tendencies, and just the way that the defensive line was able to pin their ears back and get after the quarterback, it was a long day at the office for Sean Clifford. But this is the difference between Joe Barry and Jeff Hafley. With Joe Barry, no matter who the quarterback was, it was like, well, let's see how many mistakes he can make over the course of the drive. And we'll just kind of sit back and let them make mistakes. And with Jeff Hafley, it's like, no. We're gonna try to beat the snot out of this guy. And we're going to force mistakes. And if we give up a big play, we will tip our cap. That's fine. We'll live with it. If he starts completing big plays all over the place, then we're going to have to adjust. But we're going to bring it. And with Sean Clifford, they said, you're going to have to throw the ball downfield. And we don't think you can do it. And that's exactly what Jeff Hafley should do, even in a practice. And it wasn't like they were blitzing like crazy or anything like that. They're just able to pin their ears back, bring that extra safety in the box, and let their defenders cook. And that is exactly what so many fans have been clamoring for. Just let these defenders play. It's a overall pretty darn good group of individual players that need to work better as a team. And there's certain things from tackling to assignments to communication that have needed to improve, period. End of story, regardless of defensive coordinator. But I think a lot of people have just wanted to see the kids' gloves get taken off of these defenders and let them go hunt. Let them go cause chaos. Let them be the differentiators and the difference makers. Let them be the ones that are dictating, not the ones being dictated to. And that's what we saw in this practice. And I think that's what we're going to continue to see from Jeff Hafley. And then on top of that was the energy of this defense. Through the freaking roof. As I said on the quick hits, that doesn't guarantee you anything. That doesn't make it that you are one of the best defenses in football. That certainly beats the alternative. You don't want a lackadaisical, lazy, non-energetic defense. And man, do the coaches bring it. The energy was massive and you could feel it. It was a tangible feel the way this defense was playing. And that energy resulted in big plays, resulted in more energy, which it was just fed itself. It was so cool to watch. It really was. And it was different. There, like I said, it was very, very different from what we've seen in any recent defenses. You can tell these guys are fired up. They want to get after the quarterback. And that defensive front dominated the Packers' offensive line. Rashawn Gary, 3 sacks in a 4-play period. Also added another pressure, a run stop in the backfield on Josh Jacobs. A dominant performance from Rashawn Gary. A lot of that was against Andre Dillard. So take it for what it's worth. I posted a tweet about Rashawn Gary dominating Andre Dillard. And Tennessee Titans Twitter found it. And there's literally just a treasure trove of tweets from Titans fans just ripping Andre Dillard apart. Thankful that he's gone. Wishing Packer fans the best of luck. Like just, it's just tweet after tweet after tweet of like, good luck with that. It was, yeah. We'll see. It's been a really rough start for Dillard. We'll get there more in just a moment. But huge, huge day for Rashawn Gary. And I want to go over one rep. I talked about this a little bit in the quick hits, but there's a rep against Rashid Walker that was so unbelievably violent from Gary. I'm not talking about anything that's unprofessional to do against a teammate. I'm just talking about, you know, a angry, physical, attacking defender who is going right through your face, and he's coming with rips and quick hands, and it's like literally like a freight train coming at you, and just good luck. And I tip my cap to Rashid Walker. I would have died, first of all, but I tip my cap to Rashid Walker. I have no idea how he stayed competitive on that rep, because Gary was just, it was just a nightmare. I can't even imagine where you start. So for Rashid to be able to just kind of stick in there and hold his own as best he could, that was a big time rep from Rashid, because I'm watching Gary. It was close by to me and I'm like, I don't know how you even remotely try to stop that dude. And he was on one today. And that was, like I said, a tip of the cap to Rashid, because he prevented Rashawn from making a big play on that one. There weren't many times that anyone was preventing Rashawn Gary from doing anything that he wanted to do. He was a dominant performer on the day. Kingsley Nigbare as well. He had a 3-sack performance. And of course, these are quote unquote sacks. They're not anyone actually bringing quarterbacks to the ground, but he was all over the place. Now, he did have a lined up in the neutral zone penalty that gave the offense a free play. But outside of that, if you have a 3-sack day, you're willing to overlook a lined up in the neutral zone sort of situation. But he's had a really great start to camp as well these last couple days. And he had a lot of success against Luke Tenuta. One of them might have been against Dillard as well, but he beat up on Tenuta on a couple different plays. But just remember, this is a player we thought had a torn ACL and was maybe not even going to be back till midway through the season. He looks awesome through these first couple days. As I mentioned, offense couldn't do anything at all. There was a play late in practice, like a 6-yard completion, that it was like, oh my goodness, they actually completed a pass. Like that was like their big play on offense. There's just nothing doing. Carrington Valentine had 2 pass breakups. Edgerrin Cooper had a phenomenal pass breakup on Christian Watson, where he just flew up to go and make the play, diving pass breakup, pass falls incomplete. Evan Williams had a pick, maybe would have been a pick 6, but it was definitely an interception. The offense probably gets him to the ground if they were allowed to, you know, actually do so. But either way, really nice pick for Evan Williams. Anthony Johnson Jr. had an interception of Sean Clifford, and then Jonathan Ford got in on the action with a sack as well. It was a great day for the defensive front. Guys like just everyone, Colby Wooden, Jonathan Ford, Rashawn Gary, Kingsley Nigbare, Preston Smith, they were just getting after the quarterback all day, but it has been a brutal start for the aforementioned Andre Dillard. Dillard has not been able to pass protect at all, just at all. Rashawn Gary has given him nightmares. Kingsley Nigbare's had, you know, his success against him. I talked about it. You know, he would have been my lowest graded player, I think, on offense this past year when I went and graded his games. He had an awful year in Tennessee last year. Just an awful year. Gave him a huge contract, made him the starter, got benched on 3 different occasions, was arguably the worst pass blocking offensive tackle in football. There's a lot of traits there to like. Traits only get you so far. And this pains me. I really liked him coming out of college. It's just going to go down as a big time miss for me. I liked the signing, not because of the college tape or anything like that, but because it was low risk, you know, and maybe some reward. You do at least have those traits. He was somebody I did like coming out of college, but it's a 1 year literal vet minimum, no guaranteed sort of deal. And if you get something out of it, great. If you don't, it's an easy release. But I think there was maybe some hope on the Packers side that he'd be able to maybe be that swing tackle. It's been a really, really rough start. I just don't think he has it. I honestly don't think he has it. One of the things I mentioned in the Dillard breakdown video when I broke down his tape, as I said, the one thing that gives me some hope is that this is it for Dillard. I don't think you get much more of a chance after this. If you bombed out of Philly, bombed out of Tennessee, and then Green Bay gives you sort of a last lifeline on a 1 year vet minimum, no guaranteed deal, you better make the most of that. Or I guess I don't know if you get another opportunity. And I was hoping that would be the motivator. So far, not been the case. It's a really brutal start for Andre Dillard. He has, like I said, not really been able to block much of anything at this point. Tough day, of course, for Sean Clifford as well. Two interceptions, a lot of wobbly ducks, nothing really doing on offense. Couldn't complete some passes down the field. Overthrew receivers, underthrew receivers. Certainly the conditions played a part in this, no question about it. The fact that his offensive line was a nightmare certainly played a part in that as well. But he couldn't get anything going. And just the accuracy, the timing, the rhythm, none of it there. I gave Clifford a lot of praise on day one because that's a tough scenario to go and all of a sudden be the number one QB. Jordan Love's not practicing and you got to kind of go out and run practice. I thought he did a pretty decent job in the red zone period on Monday. Tuesday, it was game over. Defense knew what to expect, knew how to stop him, and Clifford couldn't do anything about it. Didn't get to see much of Michael Pratt. He was down on the other side, you know, with the second team. Usually we're going to watch the ones, and we didn't get to see any like 2 minute drills with the twos or anything like that. So no Michael Pratt news on this specific day. Evan Williams, starting safety. That's an interesting one. You know, Anthony Johnson Jr. was the starting safety OTAs in minicamp. Day one of training camp was Javon Bullard. I kind of just am like, yeah, Javon probably just keeps it now. No, not so fast. Evan Williams gets the start over Javon Bullard on day two. And I think it's just pure competition. I think they may have two guys that they really like in Evan Williams and in Javon Bullard. So we will see if that continues to be a competition. We'll see if maybe on Wednesday, maybe it's Anthony Johnson Jr.'s turn. Maybe they're going to get more guys involved in that competition. We know McKinney is safety one, but that safety two seems up for grabs, at least right now, between Bullard and Evan Williams. And we'll see if anyone else gets in that competition as well. AJ Dillon, Matt LaFleur pre-practice emphasized just how great of a shape that AJ Dillon is in right now. He said best he has ever seen him, and he said it with quite a bit of emphasis. You could tell it at OTAs and minicamp. He is as svelte as he has ever been. He's still a big dude, of course, but he's fit right now. He looks in phenomenal, phenomenal shape. And that's great. We've heard best shape of their career around this time for a lot of players over the history of the game. But there's a play on Tuesday, just halfback dive right up the middle. There was legitimate boost in acceleration from Dillon. The first time I've really seen something like that from him. Totally different. Looked like a different running back. That was an impressive run. And I think the best boost in acceleration I have ever seen from him. So that is a great development. He knows he needs to be more of a playmaker. And we didn't see many, you know, interior runs that went for big plays from AJ Dillon over the last couple seasons. The fact that he was able to do that in practice is hopefully a great sign. And I think does show that the work that he put in the offseason is already beginning to pay off. Like I said, he is in phenomenal shape. Kicking competition, Anders Carlson on the day, 6 for 6. Can't do better than that. Nothing over 50, I should say. Everything was, I think, like 46 and under. But still, Carlson went 6 of 6. Greg Joseph went 5 for 6. He missed from 44 yards, but 5 for 6 on the day. Turner did not kick, but remember, he went 4 for 6 on day one. And he was the only guy that kicked on day one. So through 2 days, Anders Carlson, 6 of 6. Greg Joseph, 5 for 6. And James Turner, 4 for 6. So far, Anders Carlson in the lead. Your starting offensive line in walkthroughs, Rashid Walker at left tackle, Elgton Jenkins at left guard, Josh Myers at center, Sean Ryan at right guard, Zach Tom at right tackle. Dillard was at right tackle when they actually went to team activities. Zach Tom was not doing team. And Sean Ryan and Jordan Morgan did rotate at right guard. We saw a little bit of Elgton Jenkins at center. We saw a little bit of Sean Ryan at left guard. But for the most part, that starting offensive line of Walker, Jenkins, Myers, either Ryan or Morgan, and then Dillard at right tackle is what we saw a lot of on this particular day. All right, some miscellaneous notes. Elgton Jenkins, I talked about yesterday about how there was some significant reps at center, and I was wondering if that's a little bit of a competition with Josh Myers. Asked Matt LaFleur about it. Sounds like it was much more that they had a certain amount of snaps that they wanted Josh Myers to play on day one, so they gave Elgton some reps there in an effort to cross-train him. Doesn't seem like there's any real legitimate competition at this point, but we will see if anything changes there. Eric Stokes remained the starting corner opposite Jair Alexander. Christian Watson struggled. Now, again, offense, wet ball, all of it, but there was a walkthrough throw that Watson dropped. That one I forgive less or forgive more, because in walkthrough, it's like nothing's real. It's just like basically a toss, but he even dropped that one. And then in individual drills, he dropped a pass. And then in team drills later, he dropped a pass. He had a really tough time hanging on to the football. Hopefully that's just a weather thing, and that whole drop ball thing is behind him. But struggle certainly on Tuesday. LVN got some work inside on passing downs. Didn't really do much with it, but I'm intrigued by the possibility of him maybe playing inside a little bit on some obvious passing downs. As I mentioned, offense had to do some push-ups post-practice. And Jacob Monk had two fumbled exchanges with his quarterback. I didn't see who the quarterbacks were at the time. I'll note again conditions. I'll also note it doesn't necessarily mean it's Jacob Monk's fault. It could have been the quarterback's fault on both occasions, but it was Jacob Monk at center when those two botched exchanges did happen. Players of the day for me, Rashawn Gary and Kingsley Enagbare, both of them with three sack performances. Gary 1A, but Enagbare right behind him. Huge, huge day for the defensive line. Huge day for the defense overall. Ahead of the offense on day two in a significant, significant way. And we'll see if that continues, and we'll keep an even closer eye on it when Jordan Love comes back to see if the defense can continue that, or if Jordan says enough's enough, it's the offense's time, and I'm going to tear you apart. We'll see exactly what that looks like. All right, friends, that is going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining. I'll see you right back here tomorrow with the quick hits and with the long form video as well. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All Pro members, Mo State and Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Broad Dad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Dan Miller, Alex Huang, Arnaldo Espinoza, Peter Ataka, Caleb Cookster, SoCal Pack, and Dan Gasford. I'll see you guys tomorrow. But until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.